Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is the first time I'm recording this show on my new headset. It's so weird because the earmuffs are so soundproof. I don't hear myself talking, which is really weird. I used to have some really cheap Logitech ones, but I think they're like 15 years old. And I decided to get some new ones, and I like them a lot, other than they're really heavy, and I can't hear myself talking as well, which is very weird. Well, I thought we'd go over some recent purchases. There's not a lot. I got a Looney Tunes. I got a couple more what I thought were first appearances, and only one is a first appearance, so be careful. When researching a lot of the first appearance of Looney Tunes, because you might get two answers or three answers, and you have no way of verifying, because they don't usually say. I was looking for the first appearance of Yosemite Sam and Foghorn Leghorn. So I thought the Foghorn Leghorn was Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies 141. And it does have Foghorn Leghorn in it for sure. It's a really nice copy. It is definitely not what they said it was in terms of... Well, I guess it is. They said fine, very fine. And it's more like a fine, like a 6.0. It has really good color. And overall, I'm really happy with it. These books from Dell are pretty amazing from the 50s. And I will be looking on the lookout for them for sure. And the other one I picked up is Bugs Bunny and the Dreadful Dragon, which is supposedly the first appearance of Yosemite Sam. And I think he's on the back cover. So I'm going to open this real quick. And sure enough, he is. So I did get this book, and it's a nice book. Let's see what they said it was, because it's got some spine damage for sure. They did not say what it is. It's got the musty smell, but I love that smell. It doesn't smell like water damage, fungus, or mold smell, but it smells like definitely old newsprint. So it has Yosemite Sam in the back cover and also inside the comic book. It's Bugs Bunny Pirate's Treasure. So, yeah, that's a good purchase. It's a 10-center. And I'm pretty happy to pick that one up. I also got a Dell. Oops, I fucked up the tape, but I didn't fuck it up like to hit the comic book or anything, but it folded, so I can't close the tape now. But I got a Colt 45 from Dell. I think this is issue 5 or 6, which has it's a TV show. I got Punisher 102, which I'm trying to finish my Punisher, but I'm missing the last few. So if I go to my database under that first volume, the first ongoing volume, I have the miniseries. So let's see. If I go down to the bottom... I am missing 99, 100, one. I was missing 102, but now I have it. 103 and 104. And and I think, just to double check the annuals, I think I got them all. There's some with higher numbers because of that renumbering, which I have, but Let's see, annual one, annual two, three, four, five, six, seven. So I have all the annuals. There's an ash can, which I don't have. I didn't know existed, so I'll have to seek that out. I have a Power Man Spider-Man Storm and Power Man Battle Smoke Screen. This is one of those don't smoke publicity comic books that were offered for free. I went to my comic shop and he had a stack of them. And I was like, oh, I want one of those. And then I got Ascension number 1/2. I don't think I have any Ascension. And this is from Top Cow. This is when I wasn't getting everything. But Ascension does seem like a really interesting book. It has like 20-some issues. And a 1/2 from Wizard. And that's the one I have, is the 1/2. And I got a couple more Punisher 2099s, which I'd like to finish. I got 11, 12, and 14. So that was good. And then I got a Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane, number 91. Because it was a really nice copy. And I thought I didn't have it, but I have it. So I think this is a better looking copy, though, than the one that I had. So I'm happy about that. I'm going to dive back into previews. So again, we're looking at the September 1992 previews, volume 2, number 9, that has the cover of Death of Superman. And I think I left off in the I don't remember where I left off. I know I didn't get to Dark Horse yet. I didn't get to Conquest. I think I got through Comic Zone Productions. So there's a nice ad in here for Jim Lee's Wildcats Covert Action Team trading card set that had 100 cards in the series. Premium quality format, full color fronts and backs, metallic foil stamping, random prism, and autograph cards. Art by Jim Lee, plus all new art from fan favorites as Brian Boland, Adam Hughes, Dale Keown, Sam Keith, Jay Lee, Mike Mignola, Joe Quesada, Scott Williams, plus many, many more. But we have from Conquest Comics, which I know I don't have any of these, but we have Aladdin number 0 by Chris Pepo. This is interesting, though, because Betty Page stars in a retelling of the classic tale of Aladdin. So you Betty Page fans, which I am, that might be... Hey, this is interesting. Oh, no, that's not Dean Stahl. I know a Dean Stahl, but this is a Dennis Stahl. There's a book called 69, a new anthology series by the creator of Miss Fantastic, which I've never heard of. Available in regular and limited editions. Adult material, nudity, and sexual situations. And then there's a Miss Fantastic, number 6. I would like to see what these are. And a Serafina. Another adult. I never heard of any of these. So let's go into the database and see if these things ever came out. Because sometimes you could be... This is a time when not all publications came out. And this one, Aladdin, Doesn't look like it had came out. So that's a disappointment, because Betty Page was in there. Let's see, 69. I know there's an Image comic called 69. I think it was a zombie Vietnam book, if I remember correctly. That one didn't come out either, so there you go. Let's see if Miss Fantastic came out. Fantastic. Yeah, Miss Fantastic has a hit. So we can see if this comic book failed. Yeah. So we caught this is what's fun about the previews. You catch instances of books that don't exist. So there was a company called Conquest. It was adult, and issues 1 through 5 came out, but not number 6, and that's what's solicited here. So that book, that explains that that came out. And there's a Serafina. I bet you that never came out. Serafina. Yeah, no dice. So the only book that you... But that Aladdin sounded promising. That's very disappointing. We have Continuity. Armor number 16. I know that came out, but maybe... Let's see if we got that far in Continuity. I remember waiting months for Armor to come out in Continuity. That's not what I wanted. That's in books. I want comic books. Armor. Click that one. See if it goes out that far. That's supposed to be 18. And this one went to 92. So I don't think that book came out either. So Continuity was interesting. Was Stone? Yeah, Peter Stone and Voluto. So this is fascinating. This is during the comic boom, but not during the crash yet. But we still have books that don't see the light of day, like Cyber Rad. Let's check it. Cyber. And this is the time when I was wanting to get these because of Deathwatch 2000. They were supposed to be Deathwatch 2000 books. Cyber Rad has 2 issues. And this has 5. So 5 didn't come out. Earth 4 and Hybrids. They were books, but they never finished. Earth 4. So Earth 4 I don't own. I thought I did. But Earth 4, Deathwatch 2000, I have number 2 and 3. Oh, I want these. Hybrids was also a book that probably got shafted and didn't get that far. So imagine the competition, and this was a pretty big launch, you know, to see it not... to fail so early. We got Hybrids that was supposed to have number 4 and issues 1 through 1, 1, 2, and 3 came out. 0, 1, 2, and 3. And I have all of those. Megalith is probably the same. Miss Mystic is also the same probably. So somewhere along this whole path of stuff, this company died. You know, Neil Adams's company didn't do big in the 90s like I guess they thought they were. I remember signing up for these books and never getting a lot of them, so that sort of makes sense. As we continue on, let's see if we can find a company that has some books. Oh, we get to Dark Horse. I know these came out, but this is a time. In 1992, we had classic Star Wars coming out. I think that was reprinted material. Dark Horse Presents number 68. This one was featuring Predator Race War. And a hire a killer to find a killer, Swimming Lessons by Joe Duffy, and Paleo Love by Gary Davis and Eddie Campbell. Mature readers. This one I did pick up. at least some of them. I don't know if I kept up with Grendel at this time or if I. I remember getting a few Grendel War Childs. I don't think I had it on my pull. I think I was getting it off the shelf, and that could explain why I might not have all of them. Let's see, I got one through four. I do have all of them. I have one through 10. The Mask Returns. I've been trying to get all of these, the mask stuff, but I don't think I have this one. The Mask Returns. Yep, it's four issues. I don't have it from Dark Horse. I would like to get it. We have Ring of Roses. I don't even know what that is. 1991, there's never been a world war. The church has slowed the advancement of science by at least 50 years. The threat of a religious war looms like a dark cloud as sinister underground forces vie for dominance. Within the labyrinthine world, one man moves slowly to unveil a complex web of deceit and conspiracy as he investigates the fate of his missing brother. Yet something far worse than war awaits them all. That's sounds very interesting. It's called Ring of Roses. Pockets Full of Poses. We have a Sin City softcover edition, so a trade that was offered. The Venus Wars, don't know anything about that. Another Chance to Get It Right by Andrew Vox. I don't know what that is, but it's a collected edition. Caravan Kid. Don't know what that is. There's a Cling Clang Clatch soft cover. Chevelle Noir. I do have some of these. I think that was an anthology. 295 mature readers. Modern classics, Freaks Amour, like love, amour. That's amore. It's a novel, based on a novel. We have Next Men number 9. I think I have all the Next Men stuff. That was John Byrne, of course. We have Nexus the Liberator, not by the team that I know, but Petrucca, Camilli, and Nymberg. With a cover by Adam Hughes. That is curious. I want to see what that cover looks like. Nexus the Liberator. And number four. Yeah, it does have an Adam Hughes, so does number one. This I definitely don't have, but I don't know a lot about Nexus. I have some issues. I've read some. I think it was printed by IDW at one point, and I think I picked up a few. There was some publisher that published them way after the initial runs that were well thought of, and that's when I had some. I got Blanche Goes to New York, Herbie, Wonder if that's the Golden Age, Herbie. It says, yeah, I think it is. Fat Fury and he teams up with Flaming Carrot. And then two Herbie classics. Hard Looks by Andrew Vox. So it looks like he was publishing a lot of stuff at Dark Horse. The New Frontier, number two. Don't know what that is. Predator versus Magnus Robot Fighter, number two. Definitely know what that is. RoboCop Prime Suspect, number two. Arcudi Leon and Al Birch. But the Predator Magnus was by Shooter and Weeks. I definitely have that. Stone Cold Deadline, USA, number eight. Dark Horse Comics, number four. I won all of these. I read some of those with the James Bond and X and stuff, and I fell in love with them. Don Martin's Droll Book. There you go, Don Martin from Mad Magazine. It's one of the only characters I can draw. Interesting fact. Orion looks like an anime book. It's bi-monthly. I remember that coming out. So that wraps up Dark Horse. And I don't know if we want to get into DC. I think we'll stop there. And I don't think I have any questions for this episode. So I am going to pause and tally up my numbers for the weekly reads, which I didn't think I was going to do this episode because I wasn't feeling too motivated. I was having like this side cramp on my stomach, and I was like, I don't know if I'm feeling up to it. And then I said, what the fuck am I gonna do? I don't feel like reading. I don't feel like watching TV right now, so I might as well do something. I did watch a lot of more Bond films. I'm down to my last five, and I'm pretty excited that I've actually got, I think it's like 28 films. Maybe 29, because I have watched the original Casino Royale, which is a comedy that's not considered in the James Bond mythos, even though it is. So I'll take a pause here and I'll be right back. Talk to you in a bit. So that was really weird. I guess these headsets charge don't last as long as I would like. I just used them one time before. I had shut them off and the battery had already died, so I had to plug in, unfortunately. So luckily it's back and working. And we're going to talk about some comics, and it should just be fast because I have gotten really lazy. I hope to get better. But I haven't been taking notes anymore. So we're going to be talking about books that were read 3/11/2024 to 3/17/2024. The only movie that I had listed that week was The World Is Not Enough. I think this was one of my favorites. I almost want to check to see if it has my woman in it, because I believe it is, but I want to check. World Is Not Enough. Not my favorite Bond, but one of my favorite Bond movies. Yes. This has to be in my top five Bond films. And it has Pierce Brosnan, who's like my fourth Bond, maybe in terms of me enjoying him as a Bond, but he's perfectly good as a Bond. But it has the one woman that I absolutely love. She's my favorite Bond girl and Bond villain at the same time, and you don't know she's a villain until the very end. But It had Pierce Brosnan, Sophia Marceau. She plays Electra King. There's a Renard guy. He's another bad guy that you think's the bad guy. Robert Carlyle and Denise Richards. And then it has this reoccurring Russian character played by Robbie Coltrane. And Judy Dench is M at the time. But Desmond Llewellyn is still Q. John Cleese is R, like he's assisting Q. So Judy Dench like went through several Bonds, just like Moneypenny went through almost the entire Bonds. She's pretty incredible. And so did Q for the most part until I don't think he was in a Daniel Craig. But I love this Bond movie. It's got to be in my, definitely my top, my number one Bond girl, my number one Bond villain. In my top five plots. So pretty incredible. I like this one a lot. So that was the Bond film of the week. We had a total of 28 comics, 2 Marvel, 9 Image, 4 Eros. Ooh, I'm so nasty. DC 5, 1 Dell, and 6 Dark Horse. Well, there's one more. I cheated myself out of another publisher. I don't know who the official publisher is. Oh, it's Marvel. Never mind, I'm stupid. So Marvel gets 3. And I had 29. I don't even know if I should give myself 29 because I read a couple of the stories and skipped some of them. And I went on a tear to get. I really wish there was a Three's Company comic book. I love Three's Company. If there was a Sanford and Son, Three's Company, Jefferson's comic book, I would love to see that. Chips. Oh my God, Starsky and Hutch, but I can get them in the funny books of Crazy, Mad Magazine, and Cracked. So this is the Three's Company, Crazy number 40. They got the Ropers okay. Like I thought that was good, and the Chrissy thing was really. They made her really dopey. She's already dopey, but. Not that dopey. And I didn't like the way that it portrayed my favorite girl, Janet. So I was kind of grumpy with this one, but I gave it a 3 out of 5 anyway. Crazy, I had a subscription to. It was almost like my first subscription. I can't remember who gave it to me, my parents, or if it was an aunt or uncle. I had a year's worth of them. I had thrown them all out because at that time I was throwing out magazines like a dumbass. I mean, all the comic scenes I had and Wizards and Previews, which I have to pay for now to get these old ones. But, yeah, Crazy number 40 I might have had already, and I picked it up. The cover was nice. It had they were featured on the cover, whereas along with Mad Magazine, it so happened to be the same Mad Magazine that had Three's Company had Star Wars. So obviously they went with the Star Wars on the cover and not Three's Company. But I got that issue too, but I didn't read it. A Crazy was a magazine published by Marvel. And they had a character to compete with Alfred E. Newman called Forbish Man, I believe his name was. He wore a pot on his head and had a red suit. I don't remember who the Cracked guy is because I never had an issue of Cracked, believe it or not. But I do want to seek out the issue that has Cracked and Three's Company in it. So we'll start at the 4 out of 5s. All there were 4 out of 5s besides this Crazy magazine, which was a 3 out of 5. We have Kanjakaru, The Skinner, number 1 and 2. This is a Dark Horse book, a Mike Mignola Universe book. I read last night, and it related to the witches teaming up with the Nazis during World War II. I didn't know it was was tied into the stuff I was reading in Lady Baltimore, but I was really happy to see it, and I enjoyed it. The story behind this is I have two storage units of comics. I went to the older storage unit, and I just started pulling out some Dark Horse books because I'm like, you know what? I'm well-read in a lot of Dynamite, and I haven't read a lot of Dark Horse, so I should read some of the books that I purchased from Dark Horse, and I pulled them out. And the next book I got was Jenny Zero. This was a Dave Dwanch published, and I've met Dave a couple of times, and he's really talented. I met him through the podcast community, and then he was part of Action Lab, and then he wasn't, and now he's publishing books at Dark Horse and other publishers. I think he's got one called Banshees at Scout, which I've also read. I followed his career because their podcast was awesome, the Comic Savants. I think that's what it was called. It was nasty, but it was really fun to listen to. I met mostly Super Ugly and Dave through that. And this podcast is sort of a kaiju type book. There's kaijus in this world. And then there's like a military organization that is trying to control the kaijus, but they lost one of the members that used to fight them off. Well, Jenny Zero is a reluctant punk rock, rebellious girl that doesn't know she's really a kaiju, and her father used to fight kaiju. And so she finds out that, you know, she's supposed to fight these kaiju. And it is a pretty interesting book. I really like it. I've become a fan of kaiju. And what do they call the Super Sentai stuff? What do they call the ones that the mech, you know, the ones that turn into mech, not the Sentai stuff. Cause I try Power Rangers, but I don't get them. You know, I've got Battle of the Planets, some books, but I never was into it. But, there's been some others like Images, title that they have going on where they have like Sentai characters. And I like the mech characters that fight the kaiju. Well, this is kind of falls into that genre with a little bit of humor to it. This was very interesting because this was a hot book for a hot minute. And the reason it was because Jenny Zero number one, this is when they would do like misprints. And it had two pages from another issue, issue two. And what they did is I ordered this through DCBS, who's my provider for most books. I still go to Ed's Cards and Comics. But they had sent me out a free copy of The Replacement, and I didn't know which one was which, so I went through them to try to find out where the issue was, and I didn't find it until later. And then I read the wrong one, and then I kind of knew there was a page or two out of place, and then I read the two pages that were the right one. But a really good series. It came out in 2021, and the artist was Magenta King. And she's fabulous for this book. Like she's got the sequential art style down. The story's very fluid. She gets the humor because she has to do certain facial expressions and response reaction type things. Makes the lead character and her friend really likable characters to follow. So yeah, this is also co-written by Brockton McKinney. So let's give him credit. He wrote it with Dave Dwanch as well. So that was a really good book. Beverly Hillbillies number one. This is from Dell. I wanted to get the first appearance of Beverly Hillbillies. Really liked Beverly Hillbillies in reruns. I watched a lot on UHF, baby. Click on that dial and When I was a kid, like UHF had like all the syndication stuff. You had your five channels. You had NBC, PBS, ABC, and CBS. And then that was it. And then you had on UHF what became Fox and a couple other stations on there. A lot of Spanish stations, I remember, because I was in New Mexico. But I loved what was that station that was Fox, because I caught a lot of syndicated shows on there and watched them as a teenager and loved it. So Beverly Hillbillies, the Clampets help their rich producer friend get his car started. And they think he's a producer of crops. They don't know what a producer is. He's a movie producer. They don't have a clue of that. But the only kind of producer they know is a producer of crops. So they go to a film studio and cause all kinds of shenanigans that almost bring that whole studio down to its knees. And that guy comes out yelling eventually because he was in there seeing a. He was in his office and he had a psychiatrist come in, and he's like, you've been talking to me about being an introvert and not meeting new people. And he says, I met these really nice people called the Clampets, and they helped me get my car started. And I socialized with them, and I had a really good time. And then they destroy his studio. So they destroyed his studio, and he's like flipping out at the end. And Jed just he pops out a bunch of cash out of his. He's like, just go buy yourself another studio. And he's like looking at the money, and it's like, wow, this guy's loaded. We have Flash 4 through 6. Me and Rob talked about this. Rob, this is I gave it a 4 out of 5, but I'm really have problems with this iteration of Flash. It is Mike Diodato and Cy Spurrier. Cy Spurrier, for me, I don't know if it's the way he writes words or what, but they don't like, I don't, my brain doesn't suck them in a fluid way. Some writers, it works really well. Some writers don't. But he's really enjoying it, and I think I heard the guys at Challengers podcast, Contest of Challengers podcast, say that they're really enjoying the book. I fall in that category where it's not my favorite, even though Flash is my favorite, one of my favorite characters for sure. I've always loved him since I was a kid. That Treasury Edition, Superman versus the Flash, and when he came on Super Friends, I was like, oh my God. And then I saw that Legends of the Superheroes show where the guy wouldn't even run. What he basically get in this running stance. They kind of used his effects in the Justice League movie with the Flash and the Flash movie where he'd stop in a running stance and then you just see a blur. But I've always been fascinated with him and some of the first 20-cent comics that I pick off the shelf for the Flash. And in the playground, there were two characters I always wanted to be. It wasn't Superman, it wasn't Batman, it wasn't Spider-Man, although I did break my arm walking on a wall playing Spider-Man. We used to have these concrete walls that were 6 feet high in our neighborhood, and we used to walk the walls. You'd jump on there, like get on them, and you'd get to the neighbors' houses by walking on walls. So you'd walk on the. Sometimes the bricks would get loose, though, and that's when you'd hurt yourself. But I was on the fence. I must have been in third grade. And I wasn't particularly walking to a friend's house on the fence, the walls, the concrete walls, but I was pretending I was Nicholas Hammond Spider-Man. So I was going da 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 do 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 do. Like I was like, oh man, if it was Lou Ferrigno's Hulk on the TV or that, or Nicholas Hammond's Spider-Man, Deadly Dust or whatever, I was playing it and I was like pretty badass doing the walls, like I'm Spider-Man, and I fell off, broke my arm. The only time I've ever broke my arm was because of Spider-Man. But anyway, some people are highly praising the Flash. Mike Diodato's art to me looks like it's done on a computer screen, like a poser or something like that. But I'm not to say I know that. I can't verify that. It just looks so different than the Diodato I'm used to. And I think people are going more the computer route, which unfortunately it doesn't look as well as the hand-drawn stuff. But I could be wrong. But this has interesting points to it. This is definitely not my favorite volume of The Flash, but there are aspects that I am enjoying. I really like the two issues that had Wally's kids. Those were really good issues. Oh, I didn't finish the story about the characters I always wanted to be in the playground. When we play in grade school, big Super Friends fans, and we would share comics by trading them. For me, it was The Flash and Hawkman. Hawkman never went, but I pretend that I was Hawkman with those big wings. I'd be flapping my arms on the monkey bars, and then on these, I forget what they call this, tower of pipe. They would never allow these pipe structures in schools today because so many kids, they would go up about 10 feet, and if you hit these metal rods, you'd crack your head. I think my brother cracked my head. You break yourself. They were fun though, man. But I would be on them, and I'd be going Hawkman never went like a crow or anything, but you know, I was doing that, flapping my arms back and forth, or I was the Flash and I was just running around like a jackass. But that's where I was going with the story. I never wanted to be Superman or Batman. I always wanted to be Flash and Hawkman. And the only time I was Spider-Man, I broke my arm. But the next book I have is Spunky Knight. This is pretty much a porno book with a fantasy plot. So it's a fantasy book about a prostitute bounty hunter that is very nasty, but also very funny. I was really impressed with this book. I picked this up from Aaron Myers because every time there's an Eros book, I jump on it because I don't have many, to tell you the truth. I'm pretty fascinated by the whole thing. We got Void Rivals. This is about the two alien races that hate one another that actually have to put a ship together to leave the planet and go back to their respective worlds. And they had a run-in with a Transformer. This is as far as I got to Void Rivals because I got the first three issues pulled aside, and this was 2 and 3. I thought they were very good, but I lost the needle on it. And this is before I took them to the storage unit. So I still got to get back on Transformers. But I'm fairly caught up on the G.I. Joe and the other books, the Transformers. So I need to get caught up in Void Rivals. We have Universal Monsters Dracula. This completed the James Tynion run of Dracula, which was very focused on Renfield. Really, really well drawn, really well done comic book that was more focused on the Van Helsings, the supporting cast, Renfield, with Dracula just being like, he's there, and this is how they're dealing with the situation. It was a really good issue. I wish we had a little bit more to delve into. But they were following the movie plot, but through the eyes of Renfield and the other characters, rather than seeing Dracula portrayed very much. We have Transformers 2 through 5. This has been fun. really enjoying it. Surprised to see how tight this Hasbro universe is, all interrelated. And there's aspects that I really like, and there's aspects that I don't like. Like, sometimes I want them just to focus on the Transformers and not have to worry about G.I. Joe. And with G.I. Joe, I have the luxury of having a G.I. Joe book written by Larry Hama that's not necessarily going down that path, which is my favorite G.I. Joe book. But I still am enjoying Cobra Commander and Duke. We got Lady Baltimore 1 and 2. Never been into the Mignolaverse. I can't tell you why. Read some Hellboy. Every time I jump in, I read the mini or I read the series, and I don't know why it is. But to tell you the truth, I'm not a huge fan of his art style, and I never have been. I read Cosmic Odyssey, which is one of my favorite John Stewart stories, and the art I've always had problems with. And the Hellboy I haven't so much had, because it's a different world. Like, it's like the straight line edge that he uses. Nothing has got a smooth line. I think you either like him or you don't. It's growing on me. But, and then he hires artists that have similar styles, which I would do too if I had other people playing with my property. But anyway, the good news is I really like this. It's about a woman that is sort of working with an organization led by a priest, and she's got friends and such that are trying to take down these witches that are working for the Nazis, and she's dealing with the death of her husband. So, like, I didn't know the background, but there's a lot of background in this story, even though this was a mini series called Lady Baltimore, that her husband had many issues out prior to this, before he died, that were called Baltimore. And it makes me very, very curious to see this world. So I might pick up a collected edition or so of this Baltimore if I see it come up. We have Wolverine 30 and 31. This is the Beast versus Wolverine. Very violent, very fun series, because the Beast, they're playing with him like he's really Dark Beast, but they're not telling you that. And he thinks he's an ally to Genosha, whereas Wolverine knows there's something fucked up with them, but nobody's listening to him. So let me pause this. I think my wife is calling me. Well, I'm back. And I'll try to remember where I was. I just talked about Wolverine with the Beast and the Wolverine story, which has been very entertaining. I think I almost caught up on Wolverine, so I think we'll get into some of those issues later. But I think I'm about to enter the Sabretooth saga. We have Green Lantern 6 through 8. That's the current series. That is pretty much dealing with Hal being on Earth. John Stewart's there too. I don't know where Kyle is. I forget what the backup was on this story. It might be the Kyle Rayner story. But the United Planets had sort of outlawed Green Lanterns in 2814 sector Earth. And John almost became godlike and got his ring. And Hal sort of like manifested his ring. And Sinestro lost his ring, and he's trying to get powered up so he could go back home to his world. And he gets the Red Lantern ring. He goes with Rage. So it's been a really interesting story. I've been enjoying that quite a bit. We then get into March 18th through March 21st. And that week we had four Bond movies in this order the way I liked them, and one number five, five out of five. They were all 4 out of 5s except for one. We had From Russia with Love. That one, I believe, was Sean Connery. We had Never Say Never Again, which is a remake of Thunderball. I just saw Thunderball recently, and I like Thunderball better, even though I really did like Never Say Never Again. Thunderball's premise as a plot just seems more grandiose than Never Say Never Again. Like they stole some, I forget what they call them. They're missiles from a jet, and then Thunderball, they stole nuclear weapons, two nuclear bombs. So it just seemed bigger. There were a lot more underwater scenes for sure. Goldfinger is my favorite Sean Connery so far. Enjoyed that quite a bit. I think that villain is pretty good too. I really liked him in that movie. And I liked the characters that were in that movie. On Her Majesty's Secret Service was the one Bond, I forget what his name is. Rob Krieger would know because he told me his name. But it's not Sean Connery. It's not Pierce Brosnan. It's not Timothy Dalton. It's not Roger Moore or so any of those. It's this guy. He just did one film. I don't know what the story is about that. Why he just did this one film. And it was a very key film. Like, it was his marriage. So in other movies, they talk about him being married and then him losing his wife because he'll be, like, at the graveside of his wife. And you meet his wife, who's the daughter of a criminal. And if you look at the history of Bond women, they've all had elements of being on the wrong side, inspector or whatever. She was just a member of a gangster, and in this movie they team up with the gangster, but it's really good. They have Kojak, I think is this the one that has Telly Savalas as the villain, I'm pretty sure, and he's really good. He plays what can I think of his name? I should be a James Bond expert. Let me look up Her Majesty's Secret Service. George Lazenby. Diana Rigg, I think, is his love interest, his wife. Telly Savalas, yeah. A really good villain in this. He plays the leader of Spectre. So Telly Savalas is Bio Blofeld, and Blofeld is played by another actor in the Daniel Craig movies, another popular actor. Lois Maxwell's Moneypenny. Bernard Lee is M. Desmond Lanwin, who's always Q. It's weird. Moneypenny and Q are always there, but the actors are changing underneath them. This was a really cool movie. Telly Savalas had like this organization in the mountains somewhere, snow capped everywhere. And he was bringing beautiful women up there that had allergies and saying that he was curing them. But he was brainwashing them the whole time so they could. It's so weird. Like if a woman was allergic to chicken, he cured that somehow, and she was able to eat chicken when they were eating dinner with Bond, and he was gonna release them on the world to stop the reproduction rates of males. So it's very Ra's al Ghul or Thanos oriented, like. The population's too much. We're going to diminish it. Really like this one. This was really good. We then get Skyfall, which is the best Daniel Craig one. Daniel Craig movies are the only movies that you should watch in order. I didn't watch them in order. I think I went Skyfall, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, the last one, which I can't, No Time to Die, and then Spectre. So I watched them all out of order, but I was able to follow the threads. It's kind of like one growing story arc. It's a freaking awesome. The Daniel Craig movies that are as a whole are my favorite Bond movies with the same Bond. We then have 26 comics. We have Penthouse Comics, 16 Marvel, 3 Image, 1 Dark Horse, 1 Boom, 1 AWA, 1 Archie, 1 and 2 Antarctica. So we'll start with the 3 out of 5. I wanted to like this one more, but it was really hard to get into a one shot about a hero called Jaguar that was just introduced and then they have to resolve a plot. That's kind of how it goes. There's somebody killing jaguars in South America, I believe it was. And she is the jaguar expert, and there's a bird that's killing them. So it seems like everybody in the bus are bird experts, and she's the only jaguar expert. And she gets the power of a god to fend off another, looks like another human that became a monster through a bird god that attacks her. It was pretty good. Like, give me any Archie comics, throw me a superhero anytime, throw me a bone and I'll get it for sure, guaranteed. But this was just I liked it. I thought it could be more. I would love an ongoing for sure of this new female jaguar. We've seen a female jaguar before in the Impact line. I have some of the original Golden Age jaguars, and that was a male jaguar. So we have 4 out of 5s. We have Fantasy Comics 3 and 4. This is Fantasy Comics, unlike the other ones, is not really an anthology. It's sort of like an ongoing fantasy book. So if you want to follow one story, so if you were to try one, you would know immediately if you were gonna want to follow it. I, not being the biggest fantasy fan, I got this because I, in my eyes, Antarctic can't go wrong. But it was really good, and I think it gets better. It's getting better now that I read these 3 and 4. I read What If Miles Morales Became Thor. That was a controversial book. I have a physical copy of this. I only have 2 issues of this. I don't know why I bought Captain. I think I bought the Thor one because of the controversy, and I think I bought the Captain America one because I wanted to see Miles Morales' cap. But they were both good. I liked the Captain America one more than I did the Thor. The Thor one was controversial because I think the writer was making it the black culture look like hoodlums, I guess, with graffiti and stuff and the way they were talking. I didn't find it offensive, but I'm not black either, so I don't know. I think he apologized and it was sort of forgotten. And I don't know the whole history of it, but at the time it was real controversial. Ribbon Queen number one. That was really good. That's from AWA. I enjoyed that quite a bit. Penthouse Comics, really good anthology. Not as nasty as you'd think, you know. It's kind of a tame, very tame R. If you like Gilliam March, that first story is drawn by Gilliam March, and it's the best story. It's a very weird story. This woman goes to hire this guy that does live sex shows with other women. And he was his girlfriend that he have sex with on the stage is attacked by men. I don't know why, but there's an organization that attacked him and they let him live. And this woman hires him, and then it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. And then the second story was about two females that got kicked out of the military during the Desert Storm time frame because they were lesbians. So they become like, they start to hunt down neo-Nazis. There was that story. And then there was another story that was based on a book. I can't remember what the book was called, but there's a horror movie, a stalking movie called I Spit on Your Grave. And I've watched all of those movies. They're sort of like women get abused. The women then seek revenge on the abusers and kill them. But there's several. There was one in the 70s, and they did a couple of remakes and then sequels, and there's like five of them out now. But that's not this. This was based on some novel called I Spit on the Grave. It's about an older guy, older than the kids he hangs out with. They're not kids, but they're all college students. I think he's got like 8 years on him. He doesn't give a lot of history, but he goes to the small town to work at a bookstore. And he meets this culture of college students and becomes ingrained in their world, has sex with all of them, it seems like. I think it's going to be continued because that's kind of how it ends. And you don't really know what this guy's mysterious past is, but he's got a gun and he looks like he was involved in something. And I don't know what, but everything was written really good, really good, really good. It was drawn really well. There was another story in there where it was a murder mystery and there were cops involved and there was a killer. And it's about a girl trying to seek revenge for that killing. And it was really hard. The art was perfectly drawn, but where the artist, I think, failed to do, and the colorist, is there were two characters. There were two male cops that looked similar, and it was very hard to tell which one was which. And then there were two females that were drawn very similar. It was hard to tell which one was which, but they were drawn really well. You know, they could have thrown a mustache on one of the cops, or he could have been wearing glasses, or, you know, something to that effect, just to distinguish them a little bit. Or the colorist could have drawn them, you know, colored slightly different tones. But other than that, they seemed like European comics. There was some nudity in the back. They had like really tame things that you'd see like in Playboy magazine, not Penthouse, but like you'd see breasts, and they were like photo. It was like a photo shoot of a girl on a motorcycle, and that was the end of that. We got Wolverine 32 through 39, so that got me almost all caught up on Wolverine. I own those issues, but I read them in the middle of the night on the app. So when that happens, I usually go find the issues and pull them out of the box, and then put them in the red boxes. We got Wolverine Patch 2 through 5. This was a Larry Hama recently 5-issue miniseries dealing with his time and when he had the patch, obviously. I can't think of that island. The criminal, there's no law kind of place. But he was on that island. And this was really it involved two other mutants. And it was very, very entertaining. And also a child that was a mutant as well. And he was trying to protect them. We have Janice Vell, Captain Marvel. This was really good. I didn't read Janice Vell that Peter David wrote, but at the time, Captain Marvel, it was... I don't know how it sold, but it was critically acclaimed. Like, the people that I knew that were reading it were like, this Peter David comic book is awesome. You should be reading Captain Marvel, and I never did, but I did read this follow up, and I can see why it's such a good series. Like, I want to know more about this Rick Jones, and even though he's the sidekick to the Hulk, but he has the quantum bands and his girlfriend. I do remember her. I can't remember if her name was Margot or what it was, but for some reason, I remember her, and she somehow becomes death, you know, like death, Thanos death. And it was very interesting, and I wanted more, and then the series sort of ended. We got Lady Baltimore number three. That was the Nazi witches versus Lady Baltimore. It was really good. Savage Dragon 268. Also, anytime we're finally getting almost bi-monthly Savage Dragons. Hopefully they're getting back on tone. One of them was extra large. This could, I mean, is 268 the large one? If it was, 268 was the double-sized issue that had the Vanguards in the back, and we skipped the Vanguards because we had read them in Megalith, Megaton comics, fairly recently in black and white, and these were colorized versions of that. And this was the series where Frank gets married to Amy, and the big shocker there is that when they're having sex after the marriage, that somehow Mr. Gloom swapped bodies with Frank, so he's like in that forbidden zone or whatever they call it, the negative zone, with little Amy, which is she's a little girl at that time. And he's stuck there in Mr. Gloom's body while Mr. Gloom is in now in Frank's body, screwing his wife. And the other thing that is interesting about this is it sort of goes through past Savage Dragons and summarizes through time the relationship between Frank and Amy. So it's really, really good. I highly like this issue. We have Edenwood number one. This was a fantasy book, post-apocalyptic thing where there's like this zone. There were these kids and a brother and sister got separated, and she was with her boyfriend at the time, and he loses her, and he becomes an apprentice to another guy that fight these bad guys in sort of like a fantasy world once they're in this dome. And now he's an adult, and he runs across another friend, and he's still in search of the girl that he loved, and he finds her brother later in the future because there's a big gap, like time jumps. It starts in the past when they were kids and then moves forward to when they're more adult. And he took over his role of the mentor that kind of raised him and taught him how to fight. We have G.I. Joe, Real American Hero. This series is just so fun with the multi-threads and the island of zombies and Serpentor and what's his name? Dr. Bender, Mind Bender, and they're zombified, and they have a lot of the Cobra assassins and such as they're zombified as well, and they're going to conquer not only G.I. Joe but also Cobra Commander who escaped. So we'll see how that all that pans out, but it's been highly, highly entertaining. And you do have Snake Eyes, which is now talking, like he's no longer mute, and he's with Scarlet. And they're in the mountain cabins when they are attacked, and he's now vocal. So you have to go read the IDW series on how all that wrapped up and how he's able to talk. We have Pine and Merrimack number two. This is the husband and wife investigators that are investigating a missing girl, And she only got involved in this because her sister was missing at one point. And this girl that's missing now reminds her of her sister. And they went after the motorcycle gang. And now they went to an island that's real mysterious that's involved in this. They had a friend of them boat them over. And then they barely escaped. So it is a really cool series from Boom. And I forgot to, no, I did record that. So there were 26 comics that week. The previous were 29, fluctuating around that 30 marker. The 5 out of 5s, the top book for the March 11th was Green Lantern from DC Comics. And I had 4 5 out of 5s for the 18th through the 24th, and they were Pine and Merrimack, G.I. Joe, Real American Hero 304, Eden Wood, and Savage Dragon 268. So I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you soon. I have 2 episodes in the can now, so I know I'm taking next week off, but I think this keeps me in the ballpark of being close. So thank you for listening. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. Send me email. Please send me email questions. I didn't have any this week to go over. You can send me questions at X at Mike Myers Brunch or on Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch as well. And you can find this podcast at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Recently, we used to have a hosting company that had unlimited storage, and now we don't. So the way we're combating it now, at least in the short term, is to remove older episodes off the website so you can't download them anymore. It used to be you could download from episode 1 all the way forward of anything. But now I think we keep the last 100 episodes or so until we can find another a better solution. So just to give you a heads up on that, I don't think I have a lot of listeners that go back into the back catalog. But if you do, I'd like to know. Please send me email or hit me up on Twitter and let me know. Facebook page is Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button. Also can let me know on there if you listen to back episodes, because it'll drive whether we start paying more for more storage or whether we keep marching down this drum here. I think I only have 5 listeners anyway. I don't ever check the numbers. I don't have access to check the numbers. I have to ask Derek to do it. I haven't done it for about 10 years. So I only know that about 5 people talk to me on Twitter about stuff. And I have 1 listener that listens on Facebook for sure, because they always click the like button on all the episode threads there. So if you're out there, let me know about the back episodes, the back catalog. So I appreciate you listening, and we'll talk to you soon.